Blog Talk Radio.
The only Joey Nugs. You tuned in live, Nugs Country Wrestling Podcast, every Tuesday night. I got my buddy Big Country on the line with us. How you doing, Big Country?
Doing pretty good, Joey Nugs.
Tell me something good, man. Tell me what's going on today in the world of Big Country. It's going to be a fabulous first episode of Nugs Country, the show, the original show, and this is going to be great. Before we finish, I'm guaranteeing you we're going to be the best show in the Carolinas taking over. We've got some people coming online right now, hopefully a 910 area code. This should be the Insane Lumberjack Timber. Timber, you on the line with us?
Yeah, man. What's going on?
Got Timber on the line. It's going to be a great show. It's the first show of Nugs Country Wrestling Podcast. I got Big Country on the line as well as the Insane Lumberjack Timber on the line. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. So, Big Country, tell me about some news that you heard. What's going on media, social media, before we get into this interview?
Well, you know, there's so many podcasts out there nowadays, but, you know, we try to support everybody, you know, to get the word of indie wrestling out there, help support the cause, you know. And, you know, I think a little bit of jealousy reared its ugly head. I've read on a certain person's podcast that he decided to tell everybody he's not an entertainer and he's not a comedian, and he's doing his just to straight shoot the facts. And, you know, you want the hard-hitting questions, and he asked the hard-hitting questions. Let me tell you something. Anybody that's in independent wrestling does it because they love it. We're not in it for the money. We're in it because we love it. And, you know, you can be a fan of indie wrestling. You can have your own podcast. It's your own, you know, God-given right. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, instead of bashing everybody or making little smart comments, support everybody so that, you know, everybody out there, people that don't know about indie wrestling, people that may know a little bit but want to know more, you know, don't be making smart comments, because all that's going to do is just piss me off. But, you know, yes, this is the first episode of Nugs Country Wrestling Podcast. That's going to be very entertaining. There's going to be some comedy. There's going to be some, you know, stuff said that might piss people off, but oh well, you know, freedom of speech.
That's what it's going to be about, and we're not editing nothing here. And I'm not going to talk down to the fans either. I mean, let's be honest, the wrestling fans know that what wrestling is. I'm not going to talk down to them, belittle them, and try to talk to them and like they're not intelligent, because who am I fooling at that point? Well, Timber, we got you on the line. Sorry about we had to do a little diatribe to get started there. But we already got haters in our first episode, brother.
Do what you got.
Timber, we got you. Yeah, they're already starting to hate on us before we even had a first episode. So, hey, haters going to hate. Yeah, we're doing our job.
Cool.
We're not talking about us. We ain't doing our job. So, Timber, we got you on the line. First off, I want to thank you for being on the first episode, man. It's going to be wonderful. I've already got freaking wrestlers booked up for the next month already, as soon as they said the level that we're going to bring to them. I'm not going to just put any jabroni on the air. So, Timber, I appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, man.
Let's get started with the what, where, and who was Timber that don't know Timber. How long you been in the business, where you started from. Tell people
I've
about
been
Timber.
I've been in too damn long, man. I mean, good gosh, boy. I started in 94, July of 94, man. I couldn't even tell you how long ago that was. Yeah, July of 94, man. That'll let you know I'm getting older.
That's older 25 years, brother. That's 25 years if my math's right. Good Lord.
Don't remind me, man. Don't remind me. It's probably not right anyways.
Yeah, well, my mind's not right, man.
Hey, you've been in for 25 years, but anybody that's ever seen you work knows that even the young boys, you can work suckers around. And I'm not just trying to fluff you because I've seen you, you know, live and in person working. You know, you're only as old as you feel. You might feel old, but let me tell you, when people see you in the ring, they probably won't believe that you've been doing it as long as you have.
Man, I appreciate that. I think that's like the first nice thing you've ever said to me.
That's
why we
haven't
really got to
speak. Country.
Hey, I actually think that's the first thing you ever said to me. I know who it is, man. I know who I'm talking to.
All
right, I know your stupid ass voice.
Okay, that's true. You're used to my stupid ass voice.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know me better than anyone. So
yeah, I know your
voice,
back
man.
In my hand.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Watch it. What's up, man?
Yes,
what do you
sir.
Want to talk
yes,
about?
Sir. I want to talk about pro wrestling. I want to talk about what's wrong with pro wrestling, how we could change pro wrestling for the better. I want to talk about your career. Let's talk about who Timber is. So, I mean, how do you say 20? We're going 25 years back now. You're a veteran in the business. You've done obviously more than just the indies. Now you had a stint with what was probably the WWE then. Was it the WWF then?
Yeah, it was WWF then. It was back in 98. I'm not good with
back
dates,
in 98.
Man, so, yeah.
Okay, well, you're better than I am because you remember 98. Tell me about, talk about 98.
Well, let's talk about 94 before we jump to 98, man. It was, you know,
okay.
This is something I always wanted to do. And, you know, I wanted to do it when I thought everybody was beating the shit out of each other. You know what I mean? That's when I wanted to do it. It was sort of depressing when, you know, I found out that we beat the shit out of each other, but not as much as I anticipated, you know. But anyways, man, I got into it, and this jabroni promoter come up to me at a WCW house show in town. What's his name? Harley Race. And Van Vader were working, and I was front row. And Harley Race and myself got into a little argument back and forth, and I guess it sparked some attention, and everybody started talking, thinking I was part of the show. And next thing I know, I get this promoter tapping me on the shoulder, asking me if I ever wanted to wrestle. And, you know, of course I have. And, you know, he's like, well, for $3,000, I can do this and do that. And I'm like, bro. Go, man. I mean, dude, he had on a shitty suit. I mean, no, a suit worse than you wear, man.
That's a bad-looking suit.
Oh, it was shit, man. You know, I thought the guy sold used mopeds or something. You know, I didn't think he was a damn promoter. You know what I mean? Because I'm thinking, hey, you know, I'm new to the biz, man. I'm thinking everybody in wrestling was loaded, you know. Chicks everywhere,
right.
Money. It was like a rock star life. And this guy just didn't look like he was loaded to me. So I thought he was full of shit. So, you know, long story short, man, I drive down to Wilmington. We set the ring up for him. And he told me if I set the ring up for him that I wouldn't have to pay anything. And I started bumping around on plywood. I didn't know any better. I didn't know we had mats under there that I could put up, you know. So we're bumping around on plywood. I get on the top rope, do a backflip, land on my feet. The dumbass, he books me the next week for my first show. I mean, I don't even have any training. Yeah, man. It's like first time I even step in the ring, next thing I know, I'm at a show. And that was
how
September was born.
Wow.
Started off working some dude named JB Jammer, and he was supposed to be some veteran in the business, but it was funny, man, because, I mean, he was one of these guys, I'll see you out there, kid, you know. And I beat the shit out of him, man. I ran circles around him. And I knew right then and there, I was like, man, I love this. You know, I get to beat the hell out of this guy. Planes a little bit when we're done. And I get to get paid and go home. And
So were you always Timber from the start?
Man, I was Timber from the start. And how that came about is I was thinking of something that I could wear because I just didn't see myself in these little sissy-ass tights, you know what I'm saying? No offense to any, all these guys out there that can pull it off, but I couldn't do it. So I had to think of something, and I was flipping through my CDs looking for some music and shit, man, and run across Jackal, Lumberjack song, and I'm like, boom, that's it, Lumberjack, Timber, bing, bing, bing. You know what I'm saying? It sort of just fell into place for me, and
yeah,
and it worked. It worked to help me stand up. Yeah.
You did that persona Timber definitely fits you. I think that was perfect for you. That was definitely for you. You just know what is right.
Well, it's me, really. You know what I'm saying? It's not me. Yeah. As a, you know, I'm not. You know what I'm trying to say? It's me. You know.
Right, it's not a character you're playing with. That's when you. I think that's why you touch in with your fans so much. They know it's real when they see you out there. That's not a character you're playing. That's really you, like amplified.
Yeah, it's me turned up several notches. Exactly.
Definitely.
Well, they always say that your best gimmicks are the ones that are a reflection of yourself. You know, people try to be a gimmick that they're not, and you can obviously tell. You know, especially guys that you know. Try to do gay gimmicks that aren't gay, you know, or guys that are, you know, trying to do badass gimmicks
or vice
that aren't
versa.
Exactly.
You know, welcome to
wrestling. I just want to know, is there any footage of that first match? Because I would love to see that.
Dude, oh my gosh. It's funny, there is, but I couldn't tell you where it's at.
How bad was the beatdown, really? Do you remember?
Well, honestly, you know, we got in the ring, and you know, I'm working heel, and this dude, he's ugly as shit, man. And I was, you know, young and handsome, you know. I felt like I was in good shape, and, you know, all the girls and everybody's cheering for me, and I'm heel. And the more I told these guys to shut up, the more they just cheered for me and cheered for me. So I felt bad for this dude, first off, because that was his hometown, too, Wilmington, North Carolina. And the crowd's just eating them up. You know, they've never seen me before. And they're really popping to me. What's all that damn noise, man? I'm trying to talk.
I don't know. I think Big Country's eating a sandwich over there or something.
What are you guys, man?
I don't know. Nah. Get together, Big Country. That ain't me. I'm sitting
right.
Still, so that ain't me.
No, I'm just shitting. But
oh, okay. Keep
anyways, I mean, I felt bad for the dude. Because the first 5 minutes he was blown up, we were allotted about 15 minutes. And, you know, the heel carries the match anyways, you know, and gives the baby face all the spots. But, see, it was my first and second match with this cat, man. So, long story short, he's lost. I see the match is going nowhere, so I start shooting on the guy. I start shooting on him and beating the shit out of him. And your question was, how bad was the beatdown? I mean, it was bad enough that the dude didn't even want to work me the second time. It was pretty stiff. It was stiff. So that's how I broke in with that dude, and then a couple matches after that, then I start working with Stro and Maestro from WCW. He was Gorgeous George III at the time, and then he started beating my ass. You know, he was no joke back then, man. You know, he trained me tough. Yeah.
No, was he one of those trainers
Do what, bro?
No, is he one of those trainers that would run you like till you puked?
Yeah, yeah. Well, he wouldn't run you till he puked, but he's one of these guys that would take advantage of beating the shit out of you, you know, to see if you wanted to, you know, take his spot. You know what I mean? You were going to have to fight this dude for his spot. And I did many times. I mean, he was pretty damn tough when we started. He
nice.
Wouldn't stand a chance nice. Now, but you know, back then he could take it to me, man.
Nice.
Well, I think there's a lot of places nowadays that are real lax with their training. I mean, a lot of them down here, you know, in South Carolina and everything. You know, all they do is basically teach you the basics and then, you know, put you on their shows because they know that, you know, it'll be free labor and everything. But, you know,
what are you talking
I'm
about the basics, man? Basically, if you buy a ring nowadays, hell, you're a wrestler, you know? or you know, or if you hang a flyer, you're a promoter. It's, man, I think that's what's wrong with the business. Wasn't that a question earlier that I saved?
Yeah, well, I think that, you know, being rough with the guys is good. I mean, you know, because when you get in the ring, they ain't going to take it easy on you. So it's like you got to prepare these guys for what they're going to get into. And there's a lot of cats nowadays that, you know,
I understood that completely. I understood that completely. That's why I didn't beat the hell out of him. I just took it. You know, I knew what he was doing, and I knew what I had to do too. And but yeah, I'm with you, man. You know, you should be trained strong, and you should be trained heavy and hard. This is it's not no joke. You know, if I'm picking you up, Big Country, what do you weigh, bro?
About 4'10".
Yeah. See, if I'm picking you up and I don't know what I'm doing, and I can't hold you, and I drop you on your head, that's my fault. You know what I mean? And that goes back to training. If I couldn't pick you up, I shouldn't even try first off. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
I mean, if you're not trained right, bro, you can, you know the deal. You've been in it long enough. You can just, man, you can do some damage.
Oh, yeah. I've seen it firsthand.
So you got through the first, you got through your training with Stroh. You went off on your own then. Tell us more what was next. Were you started booking your own shows, or were promoters coming to you at this point, or what?
Yeah, I mean, once I got out there a few times, you know, back then, you know, word traveled fast. If you were a good worker, every promoter in the country was calling you, you know. But they were wanting you to drive to Philadelphia for $35. And, you know, a long time ago I would do that. You know, because I thought that's what I had to do. I wouldn't do it now. Not at all.
Right.
You know, back then I would. So I just started working everywhere, man. Then I got some good footage together, and the people were really reacting to my stuff, man. So I got me a good tape and sent it into Connecticut to Cornette. And never heard anything back. I think a couple of weeks went by, and they had a TV taping here in town. So I showed up and went backstage and walked up to Cornette, introduced myself to him, you know, and I told him, I said, hey, you know, who I was and all that stuff. Told him I sent him a tape. His smart-ass reply was, son, I get 1,000 of tapes. You know Cornette. You've dealt with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And I just said, hey, man, just do me a favor. If you run across me, give me 5 minutes. A couple of days later, my phone was ringing, and I was doing dark matches in Virginia, and then next thing I know, I'm flying first class at limo, and, you know, all the works, man, to Connecticut, 5-star hotel. I mean, it was crazy, crazy.
So you didn't know
they flew
you didn't
me
know
first
Jim
class? No, I didn't know him at all.
You didn't know him at all. So that was one of the basically moments like you knew that if you wanted to get noticed, you better just go out there on a limb and try to do what you got to do.
Well, like you said, man, he gets thousands of tapes a day. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, you got to, I mean, shit, man, you see that door open, you got to go through it. You know, and
so
that,
you went,
that's what I
tried. So you went
to
from
do.
Indie shows to go up, you was working WWE, were they putting you up in the hotels and everything was swank for you at that point, or?
Yeah, man, I was doing, you know, we were lucky, we were happy, as hell, man, if we had 100 people in the crowd, you know. And then next thing I know, I'm doing 12,000, you know, 12,000 people, and you're standing in the centers. It was shit. I mean, it was crazy, man. It was crazy.
Tell us about that. Tell us how that felt the first time you walked down the big ramp.
You know, Corny, he was the agent for the match, you know, and we were telling him what we wanted to get over instead of him telling us what we, you know, he wanted us to get over, you know, and
right.
Which I like that. He, you know, he trusted my judgment enough to know that I was going to go out there and bust my ass. And he's like, look, man, you know, the cameras aren't even on yet. He said the people are anxious, ready to see Stone Cold. You know what I'm saying? They're there to see Stone Cold stun people and shit, man. They're not here to see you guys. Which, you know, when you hear something like that, it's like, oh, shit, you know, it's like they hit you in the stomach. But then he says,
right.
You know, but they don't know you. Go out there and work your ass off, and they will. And that's something I've just always lived by, you know. So the dude that I'm working, they send him out first. Man, there's shit on this cat, bro. I walked through the curtain and walked down that ramp, and I got a reaction that I thought I'd never get. I guess it surprised a lot of people in the back. Next thing I know, they're taking me off to the dojo to be trained by Tom Pritchard and Dory Jr. Yeah. I was in a good class, too, man. I had Steven Regal. Can you believe they were training Steven Regal? Can you believe that, bro?
Are you kidding me? How do you train someone that's already at that level that should be training other people?
Exactly. I mean, I was shitting that Steven Regal was even in the ring with me. I mean, we had Steven Regal. We had Giant Silva, Christian, Test. We had the Mexican boy group, Miguel Perez Jr. and Tarzan Boy, Paulo Dantes and Papi Chulo and all that stuff.
Wow.
Yeah, man. Sean Stasiak, Teddy Hart, Rhino. He was my roommate through this whole deal.
I was in there with your roommate?
Good class, man. Yeah, I was in there with pretty good
definitely.
Class.
Yeah,
so what about that, man? Christian.
So what happened then?
What do you mean?
I mean, what happened then? I mean, not to cut you off, but let's keep talking what you were talking. Go ahead.
No, what do you mean what happened then? I go down there work shows, you know. They train me. They teach you how to work the camera, teach you promos, teach you how to throw up because they work your ass too, son.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So then you're up there. You got your spot. At least you're trying to get your spot. They're feeling you. What happened?
Well, one of the problems I had, man, is I went up there working hurt. You know, because I stayed on the indies until I went up there, and I would work my ass off every show. So I was hurt. But when that opportunity comes, man, you know, you don't pass it. So I tried to fool myself and go down there and work hurt. And I didn't perform as well as I wanted to. But before I left, Cornette was like, they give you your envelope yet? You got your job yet? I'm like, no, not yet. He said, it'll be waiting for you in the mailbox before you even get home. You know, and apparently they reviewed some stuff and could tell that I was hurt. And that was that on that. But after that, I still did some dark matches with them, and I think I jobbed on the TV using my shoot name one time or something like that. But, dude, let me tell you this funny story I got about the dojo. It was me, Christian, Teddy Hart, Rhino, and Tess sitting at a table. And Teddy Hart, you know, he's a little asshole, you know. He gets up, he walks off, and he's chewing tobacco at the time, red man. So when he gets up, Christian's probably going to kill me if he sees me again. But Christian takes Teddy Hart, takes his red man bug and puts it under his salad. So Teddy's sitting there eating away when he gets back, and you can see this look on his face. I mean, he's turning green as shit, man. He looks like the, you know, the Incredible Hulk on crack, you know. He's just green. And after we eat, it's time to go back and train. He couldn't even train, man, because he was shitting his pants everywhere. Oh, my God. The ribs, bro.
That's
cool.
A great rib. They took his red man and mixed it in his tossed salad.
Oh, man. Tossed his salad.
Literally.
Right. And that damn, you know who Papi Chulo is? Worked as Mr. Aguila or something like that? You know who I'm talking about,
right? Yeah, I remember
right?
That, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he couldn't speak English good, and I hung out with him quite a bit. McMahon showed up to the building, and I told him, I'm like, man, I'm telling Mr. Papi Chulo this. I'm like, bro, in America, the biggest form of flattery is to walk up to Mr. McMahon and say, hello, Mr. Cocksucker. He's like, man. He said, oh, no, I'm not going to say that. I'm like, no, man, it's how you get over in this country, man. It's what you're supposed to say. And, bro, I think I had him fooled just about where he was going to walk up and say, hello, Mr. Cutsucker. until Miguel Perez Jr. said, no, man. Don't do that. He put the boot to that shit, man. He's like, hell no, we don't say that, man. Oh, God. Could you imagine if he had done that? How awesome that would have been?
Oh, my God. Yeah, they never got a booking anywhere.
God.
Never. Never.
So Vince McMahon, the first time you meet him, how intimidating is that? Is it intimidating?
Honestly, I wasn't very intimidated by him. I know everybody says, oh, Vince is very intimidating, and he even says it, but I really wasn't intimidated. He has a way of making you feel like he appreciates that you're there, which in reality, he really don't have to do none of that shit, you know what I'm saying? But he has a way of doing that. I don't know, man. It's definitely not intimidation, but it's you know the boss is there. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I kept my conversation short with him. You know, thanks for inviting me, and oh, thank you for coming, Donnie. You know, that kind of stuff. I mean, just I don't know. He makes you feel like you're part of it. He was actually pretty cool.
That's cool.
And
so
I tell you,
that,
man, I worked out in the Towers. I was down there working out with him in the gym, and he was in there working out with Shane McMahon. And I'm going to tell you what, boy, those pitchers, they're no joke, man. This dude, he's a beast, man. That dude works hard, man. I'm telling you, he works hard. I didn't even want to lay on the bench when he was working out. I just wanted to sort of go walk on the treadmill or something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man, he's not intimidating. I mean, he is if you let him. You know, like a bully, they're only going to bully you if you let him. If he knows you're intimidating,
right,
I'm sure he'd work on it. But, you know, he didn't do nothing, man. He was really cool.
That's cool. All right, so he's not intimidating. I mean, he's at that level. All those bad rumors that is probably sour grapes from wrestlers. I guess
he really likes the boss, man. He likes to be told what to do and how to do it.
That's
and how
true.
Long to do it, and you know.
That's
you
true.
Like the boss if you're a kiss ass, and that's one of my problems too. I could never get to that. Kiss my ass club, you know what I mean?
Did you see a lot of that at that level? Was it just like,
oh my gosh, man, are you kidding? Everybody kissing everybody's ass. It was almost fake. I can't stand that. You know what I'm saying? Hey, how you doing? Every time you see somebody, you gotta shake their hand. You know, shit, screw all that, man. I shook your hand yesterday,
right,
bro. I know it's old school, and I know it's tradition, but damn, I get the point already. You know, how many times do I got to shake your hand with two fingers? You know what I mean?
Right.
But, yes, you know, they probably thought I was a dickhead, and I probably was, but whatever.
Yeah, you're not the first person I've heard that says Teddy Hart is an asshole.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah, he is. But he knows it, too, and he don't try to hide it, and it is what it is. You know, he's got crazy talent. But he's just an ass, and he can't keep his mouth shut. If he did, he'd probably have a job for at least a couple months.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what? Funny McMahon story. I heard Abel Adams. He said that he was down there doing extra stuff for WWE, well, WWF at the time, and he said they were all sitting off to the side, you know, right before the show was about to start. And he said Vince McMahon had a rule that an hour before the show, nobody gets in the ring. You know, they tighten all the ropes and get everything ready. And they don't want to have to, you know, sweep it out again. He said that Vader comes down and gets in the ring and starts running the ropes. And he says Vince McMahon comes down the ramp and is like, you big, stupid piece of shit, get the fuck out of the ring. And all of a sudden, Owen Hart comes right behind where everybody's sitting and has a super soaker. And he's like kind of off to the side of McMahon, kind of a little behind him, but he's standing right behind where Abel and all them are sitting. And he just lets loose the super soaker and just blasts McMahon. Well, right before McMahon turned around, Owen throws the super soaker over to Abel, and Abel catches it. Well, McMahon turns around and looks at Abel and is like, and Abel's laughing. And he's like, you think that's fucking funny? And Abel's like, yeah, pretty much. And he's like, you get your fucking ass out of here. You'll never, ever do any extra stuff with WWF again. And it was like, oh, shit. So he leaves, and he's walking down to leave out of the building later on. Owen Hart walks up to him and pulls out his checkbook and writes a check for $200. I guess that's what they were getting to do extra stuff. And
yeah,
he says, don't worry about it, man. He said he sees so many of y'all extra guys. He says, "You'll be back. He won't remember you," and gives him the check and, like, walks off.
Wow.
Right.
Classic.
Those are times I wish I would have been sitting there.
Okay, then what happened? Okay, so we went through that. You got injured. You got released.
I didn't get released because I was never signed. You know, I was just on.
Oh, so you were never actually signed.
It was all developmental stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I gotcha.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
Without the paper, but they sent me paychecks, and that was awesome.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Not to get in your business, were they good paychecks enough that you didn't have to work another job, or was you still having to make ends meet elsewhere?
Man, of course you still got to work another job. But they were
right.
good enough. You could call it sick a few days if you wanted to.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
No, they were good enough that I could take care of some things. I was happy with it. It wasn't as many of them as I wanted, but they were checks.
Tell you, but you can at least say that you had the experience and you went and walked down the ramp. I believe in your talent. I'm not blowing smoke at you. If you wouldn't have had your injury, I could have seen you having that huge career. But then again, call me selfish, but I probably would have never got a chance to ever meet you. Never been close we ever became over the years. So.
Dude, you are so sweet. Must be that time of season. Must be Christmas.
Oh.
Country, you got any kids?
Me? No. Unfortunately not. I've only been married once, trying to get out of that right now.
So nothing under the Christmas tree for little countries, huh?
No, unfortunately not. But, you know, hey, it saves more money for me to do whatever I need to do with.
I tell you, man, I spent so much money on Christmas this year and last year, I think I'm going to turn Jehovah Witness, man, just so next year I don't even have to celebrate it. Well, I mean, shit.
Well,
when you got 20 little snot-nosed kids in your family that are like, hey, what'd you get me for Christmas, Uncle? You know, you're like, shit, man. You know, you got to get them something. You got to do it.
And it's never good enough or with the wrong color or yeah, with
oh,
the right,
or they'll
you know,
break
the
it.
Right system.
They'll break it within the first 3 minutes, you know.
Rather play with the box than once you got them.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Okay. So let's go. Let's continue on. So indies, I mean, did you always have the style of timber that you have now? I mean, the hardcore style. I think you were ECW without the title.
It's funny you say that, man, because it's everywhere that people would try to describe me, every radio interview I did, every newscaster or whatever, they were always like, he's like a 300-pound Sabu, you know what I mean? And it's because I was doing that crazy shit. I was doing that, but shit. Yeah, I was doing that kind of stuff before ECW came out, really.
Yeah. Because, I mean, no one has ever seen you wrestle. I mean, the first time I actually seen you wrestle live, and I seen, I don't want to break it, a man that's 280-plus do moonsaults like a cruiserweight off a top rope, black flips and somersault. It blew my mind. I was like, oh, my God, what the hell was that?
Yeah, it blows your mind, and it blows my knees, man. I'm telling you, yeah. Yeah. The things you do to take care of people, man, you know.
Yeah, so nowadays it's the ball.
Go ahead. I'm listening to you. Go ahead.
Nowadays, the sport's evolved to where basically the only time you can get a pop out of the crowd is if you do try to kill yourself with some crazy dive or, you know, some crazy maneuver that probably is unsafe for both the guys in the ring.
Yeah, you're right. You got guys, man, out there that are mat technicians, man, and they go work these crowds and, you know, and I mean, they're putting on a clinic. It's like one of the best wrestling matches you've ever seen. You're going to have, I can't speak for everywhere, but everywhere I've been, 90% of those people sitting on their hands. And don't ask me why. I don't understand it. But as soon as
you know
pick up a chair, you know, as soon as you pick up a chair, as soon as you give someone a good bump or a clothesline, or, I mean, and they know that you're going to someone's ass, that's what they're waiting for, man. It's that's when they come alive, and you're just, it makes you wonder. It just makes you wonder why wrestling's changed, because 20 years ago, well, not even 20 years ago, back in the 80s, you know, when you can work a headlock for an hour, you know, and now you got to shoot them with a shotgun to get over. But in the 80s, you can work that headlock for an hour and have 10,000 people believe that headlock for an hour, you know. Now you got to kill yourself.
So Timber, I've seen you work both sides. I mean, we're talking shoot. I've seen you work heel and baby face, both sides. To me, you've always been, maybe just your persona is a natural heel to me. But who are your biggest influences when it comes to being a heel?
Man, you're gonna make me think, huh?
Yeah, that's what this is about. I want to ask the questions that other people won't ask.
I know this is going to sound crazy, man, but do you know who? This is who I really think about when I'm thinking about being a heel. I really just think about me. I know it sounds self-absorbed, but it's the truth. You know?
No, I mean, understand that. Maybe in your mind you don't want to be influenced by other people's bullshit.
I'm fans of a lot of people's work, and I'm fans of you know, how some people work heel, some people work babyface, but I really don't even think about them. I think about what would I do. You know what I mean?
Hmm. I understand completely. I mean, when I'm coming out and I really want to get, you know, piss myself off before I go out there to make sure I piss them off to the fullest, I just think about what pisses me off about people. And then when I go out there and I see the people, I'm like, I don't like this person because they ain't got no teeth. I don't like this person because he's probably sleeping with his sister, you know?
Well, that narrows it down. No one has teeth in any show, man.
At least you got to worry about getting bit, though.
Really?
September, I mean, talk to me now. Talk to me. Tell me a road story, something that people never know about, you know, something about the stuff that they don't want you to know about.
Oh, man. Road stories, huh?
Yeah, I like those.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know the deal about road stories. That it's usually the other person that's with you is the reason you have a story, and the other person usually don't want you to get that story out there because it's on the road.
Okay.
It's almost like Vegas. You know what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Well, what happens on the road stays on the road. You know, that kind of thing.
Okay.
I don't know.
Can you tell us one that happened?
I don't think it stays anywhere.
Yeah, not if someone knows about it. It's everywhere. What about one that, you know, maybe affected you?
One that affected me, this affected me because it made me realize that sometimes people are so well off that money is just not an object. You know, it's just, you know what I'm saying? It's just an object. They've got so much money. I'll give you an example. Riding down the highway, we pull into this little town, RVD's in the passenger seat, and it's raining outside, and he cracks the windows down some, and, you know, he's smoking his RVD's, you know what I mean? Well, this shit, man, it's probably easy, a couple hundred bucks for a little bit, like a quarter or something, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
This is when you know you got enough money. So he rolls this big fat ass joint. We pull in to this shit, like a Taco Bell, some fast food or something like that. He cracks the window, and I have rain guards on my ride. He goes to ash it. It hits the rain guard and drops down into the water, right?
Yeah.
So he's like, well, fuck it. He just starts rolling another one. Now, me, I'd have been pissed off, first off. You know what I'm saying? I'd have been pissed. Second off, I'd have got that bitch and let it dry. You know? That's just when you know you got money, when you're like, screw it, let's go. That's a road story, I guess. You know, I wish I could tell you about all the chicks and stuff like that that we, you know.
Why can't you tell me? Now, tell me about the chicks on the road, the bitches. I know you've been out there for a long time. Tell us about Timber and the bitches.
tell you about who?
Timber and the bitches. And the bitches. I know you've been out on the road. Come on, tell us about some of the I know you got with some of the celebrity hoes. Tell us about it.
For a long time, man, I was known as the dude that, you know, dates the girls in the business. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I've dated a bunch of them. I'm not going to throw out names or initials, you know, but you know what I'm trying to say? But I'm not going to throw names out, but, man, girls on the road, boy, that's one of the reasons that you wanted to get in the business, man. Girls on the road.
Do you think in the era that we're in now that the lady wrestlers on the most part get into wrestling to get with the dudes, or they really want to be wrestlers?
Well, the thing is, man, they want to be wrestlers, right? But then when they get on the circuit and they're traveling with the dudes, and they start dating this one guy, okay? Well, that's fine. That's fine because, you know, you're around this person all the time. You're on the road with them all the time. You're never home. This is the person you see. That's cool. But then when you break up, dude, the next thing you know, you're dating this dude in the business, and then you're dating this dude in the business. It's easy for the women in the business to get that kind of reputation as, as a rat sleeping around or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the guys are looked at as like, hell yeah, you got that. You know what I mean? But it's bad for the girls to bounce around. So they got a bad, they got some big shoes to fill, man, to try to really, you know, I don't know what I'm trying to say. They have to work harder not to look like a whore. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Right. I hope it does, because I don't know what else to say.
So, let's see, what else? Any backstage ribs, anything you ever pulled on someone that's a good one that sticks out?
I think the first thing of mine was the one I told you earlier about Christian and Teddy Hart with the with the red man chewing tobacco. I mean, dude, there's all kind of ribs. To narrow it down and throw some out there, I'd have to that really are funny. Come back to me on that one.
Okay. So you got no backstage rib story.
Hey, so what's the deal on this thing, man? Did you take calls, or you got calls, or?
Sometimes I guess they call, and thus far I've been sitting there looking, and no one has called in so far. So,
well, it's hard to get your stuff out of there, man, with this being your first cast, right?
Yeah, but I had people that were supposedly, they told me they were calling in the show. I guess they got busy.
I wish I was one of them.
Sorry. Damn, sorry, brothers. Is that bad for you?
Hey, man. Hey, hey.
So Timber, if you could go back in time machine and wrestle any era in wrestling, is there one that you would go when you'd want to work at?
Of course, bro. Of course, the NWA days. I mean, that was the best, man. That was the best. I remember being, I think it was like 10 years old, man, walking into the Cumberland County Civic Center, just an old smoky building, and as soon as you walk around the corner, boom, there's that ring with the white light shining over it, man. It's, I don't know how to explain it other than it was almost like magic, man. It would make you, just make you forget everything, that little squared circle. It was cool, man. That's the times that I wish I could go back and wrestle. They had Blackjack Mulligan, Wahoo McDaniels, and you know, and Flair was at his peak. And you know what I'm talking about, man. The old Mid Atlantic territory days.
Yeah, that was the good old days when there was enough territories where a wrestler could be a journeyman and go from territory to territory. The crowd would never really get bored of you because you had enough places you go to another territory.
Right. Right, and you didn't have to kiss someone's ass. So, you know, they piss you off and not take care of it. Okay, I'll just go see what this guy can do for me. You know, you, uh, You didn't have all your eggs in one basket like you do nowadays.
Yeah, but nowadays 95% of the promoters don't want to take care of you.
No, not at all. I mean, hell, nowadays they're building you in a damn factory. You know, you're not even coming off the indies anymore. Nowadays, it's, you know, that if you're a bodybuilder or if you, you know, are a football player, they throw you into this deal and you come out, and next thing you know, you're on NXT.
Yeah, it's like, hey, you look good. You know, we'll worry about training you to wrestle later. Just, you know, be eye candy.
You know, like Cornette told me, man, it's, he said, Timber, if this was the 80s, you would be the biggest star we've ever seen. I mean, that's straight shoot. That's straight out of his mouth. He said, but it's not, and it's all about cosmetics now. You know, if you're not shredded and ripped up and tanned and looks like you just come off of a makeup seat, you know what I'm saying? You it's hard to get a job. So it's all cosmetics, man.
That old man.
So wind it down here about. Go ahead.
What?
No, there was a quote that was said here recently, and it was Stephen Walters, you know, Dash Wilder from NXT.
Who deserves everything he's getting right now, by the way.
Most definitely. Him and Scott Dawson have a quote, you know, and they said, "We're not flips and tricks. We're fists and kicks," you know. And that's, you know, I don't understand. What makes a clothesline so much better if you 360 and do it, rather than just running at a guy and taking his head off? It's like you have to be an acrobat nowadays to even, you know, make a dent in people. It's like, you know, what happened to actually just this being a sport of, you know, beating the crap out of each other?
Yeah, I mean, you have to be a gymnast now, like Neville, who's an awesome talent, but you can tell the damn dude's a gymnast, you know. He's in there flipping all over the place. And it's great. It's fine for the young kids and all that, you know, to flip and fly. I mean, that's why I do it also. But there's something about you that has to still – there's something. You still have to be a badass, you know.
I agree 100%. I mean, it's like – and, you know, I was brought up on this business being, a 50-50 thing. You know, you take care of your opponent, they take care of you. But most of the stuff you see guys do nowadays on TV and, you know, in the, you know, upper indies and everything, it's like unsafe as hell. It's like, you know, get your shit in, but make sure the other guy is walking away from it, because, you know, a lot of us have families, a lot of us have, you know, shoot jobs and everything. But, like, there's a move called the Styles Clash. You know, AJ Styles does it. The guy decides to do it on the top rope and moonsault with it. Now, a Styles Clash traps the guy's arms behind him. You know, so basically he can't protect his chest and his face. And you're going to moonsault off the top rope with this guy's arms trapped and expect him to be all right when he smacks the mat on it, you know. It's like, well, what happened to taking care of each other? What happened
What happened is that come from backyard wrestling. I can damn guarantee you that.
I can
guarantee you that anybody that was trained professionally would not be doing that move, because you're not protecting the guy, period.
I mean, I'm a big guy, so it's like, you know, I don't have to worry about taking crap like that. But if I was a smaller guy and people had the ability to do stuff like that on me, I wouldn't hesitate or think twice to be like, heck no, dude. You know, I ain't going to sit there and, you know, kill myself just so you can get your shit in. No.
Right. I'd like to say thank you to everybody that I have killed so they can let me get my shit in down there. Thanks.
If anyone hears this.
So, Timber, tell us a list of wrestlers. I already heard one in a podcast that you trained, Scotty Matthews. What other wrestlers have you worked with?
That you would know?
Yeah.
Caprice Coleman. You know, I used to have a training center, and he would come there all the time, and we would work on new spots and, you know, all kind of stuff, man. And what an awesome kid that is, man. You know, him, I don't know, man. I don't know if there's anybody that you would know if I just start throwing out names.
Sure, some of them names, even but a lot of people would know.
Well, some of them you might not want, but.
Well, you know, Gluteus Maximus, I trained him years ago. Man, he told me the other day that he was in the business for, I think it was 15 years. I couldn't believe
it. We got a caller in on the line. It's 757 area, Cody. Caller, you on the line?
Yeah, I'm here. How y'all doing, guys?
Doing good, doing good. Who we got on the line?
Man? Who do we got? I got
yes,
somebody
sir.
Timber knows really that Timber knows really well, but he ain't seen in a while.
Who's this?
Uh-oh.
Is this Damian Wayne?
Oh, damn, you're good, man.
What's up, man? As a matter of fact, I told Nugs today, I said, look, man, you need to get Damian Wayne on your deal. He goes, got him.
I'm sending Wayne because I'm like, okay, I got it. It says he's going to surprise you, but, I mean, we're running out of time here, brother. You're cutting it short. I'm like, okay, where's the caller?
It's a big tease.
Yeah, I don't get much wifey time, so we were out eating, man, and I totally kind of forgot, But good, man. How you doing, brother?
Trying to make it like you, man. One day at a time.
I feel you on that, man. I hope things are doing good for you, man. I've been hoping to get that way. One time we can get working before we both get too old for this business.
I tell you, dude, you're one of the guys out there that I just would love to work with. And you and I, we've been on the circuit so long together and so many times and shared so many of the same locker rooms. We never locked up, man.
Not you know, other than a tag match, but no, you're right about that, man.
I mean, in a tag match, we're held with a lot of shit we can't do.
And when you got Whisper and Falco in there with us, you know, we're fighting for time on that.
Right. Hey, Nose, you're talking about the style that I work. Damian Wayne copies mm-hmm. everything that I do.
Hey, that's why people know who I am. Is they say, man, you work like that Timber guy.
Exactly.
That's the best.
Good times,
you know,
good
what?
Memories, man.
You know what, bro? I have figured it out. That there's two things, only two things in this business that you can't do.
What's that?
Work baby face and work heel. Those are the two things you just can't do.
Nah, man. No.
And the only damn thing you sell is 8x10s, because I'd be damned if you're going to sell a punch to the mouth or something like that. You're going to make
True that.
You staying busy, Wayne? You still got all the straps everywhere you go?
Yeah, I'm staying busy, man. I can't, you know, I'm staying as busy as I want to. You know, I could be busier if I wanted to, but you know, there's no need to right now. Things are going good. I can't complain.
I figured, hell, you'd be walking down NXT by now or something, or at least TNA.
Well, man, I'm too old. Every time I had a shot with them, they told me they loved everything about me but my age. You know, I'm an old fart.
Don't
so,
just
you know,
suck, man.
I gave that shit up a long time ago. I'm just having fun now.
Right. Age is the only thing that goes up and never comes down, man.
Yeah, you're right about that. So
yeah.
Just having
but at
fun
least you're
now, brother.
Having fun like I am, and you know, I'm you know, my road's coming to a dead end though, bro. But I have had fun doing it.
Yeah.
Well, I want to bring both of you guys back for a wrestling roundtable. I want to run a wrestling roundtable, maybe a special episode, maybe once a month.
I don't know.
Some of those schoolers to come back on.
If I knew you had Damian Wayne calling in, I would have tried to get a payday out of this, bro. I can't keep that free.
Yeah, I should have asked you what are you going to give me for a booking fee there, buddy?
Right.
I can get you a hot dog and an attaboy.
Yeah, no shit.
Coupon
the Subway.
Yeah. Dude, it's funny, man. I worked, have you ever worked for Count Grog, Wayne?
Yeah, quite often, man. I actually talked to him this morning.
Really? I remember one time I worked. Let me tell you a quick little funny deal about him, man. I was working Stroh at the Ritz in Raleigh. And we went to a 30-minute Broadway. And, I mean, dude, we beat the shit out of each other, right? afterwards I go to get my pay, and he hands me $5 man. $5
Wow.
I mean, this was 100 years ago too, but you know, wow, times have changed. But you know, he hands me $5 And I look at him, I said, fuck you. He's like, what? I said, man, you obviously need this money more than I do. Fuck you. Keep your $5 He said, well, I'll at least buy you a sub at Subway.
Wow. That's almost more of a dang on insult there.
So I got a 12-inch sub out of the deal.
Hey, you're doing better than Jared. He's getting 12 inches free for the next 15 years. So shit.
Who?
The guy from Subway.
From Subway. Never mind that shit.
Oh, my God, man. Why did you have to say something like that?
I'm sorry. You're the one to talk about Subway, so.
Hey, you need to go get Ross, you know, tell them you're advertising. You ain't going to do it for free all the time.
Yeah, I mean,
right.
Maybe Subway guy could be the new spokesman for him since I don't like little kids. So.
Yeah.
But,
that dude deserves his ass beat. He'll be lucky not to be having his ass beaten down in prison.
They're gonna tear it up. It's gonna be raw.
So we're looking at a countdown right now. About 3 minutes and 15 seconds left in the hour. Damian Wayne, can I ask you? Do you have any road stories? Something you could share with us?
Oh shit. Nah, not too many, man. I ain't had nothing exciting happen to me on the road like that.
You are a damn liar.
He's a liar.
Remember, bitch. You are a damn liar because after a show one night in Rocky Mount in the damn hotel room, me, you, Falco, dude, and we had like 15 girls from the show. You want me to keep going, or do you got a girlfriend now?
I don't know what you're talking about there, Willis.
Yeah, I know you don't.
Yeah. Somebody else.
Mr. Mid-Atlantic.
Mr. Mid-Atlantic.
Somebody else named Damian Wayne. I'm sorry, man. But
you talking about the Chico days.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't be held accountable. You can't be held accountable for what happened before you married a lady that you're with now, so she can't be mad at you.
We did shit, man, that was, even if it was 50 years ago, they have a right to be very mad about that. With the shit we did. We were like damn rock stars, man, you know, without the tour bus. We were rock stars.
We tried to be, at least, didn't we?
Hey, man, and since I got you on the line, too, since we hardly ever talked, I want to say I appreciate, bro, the way you work, because it does really remind me of me, but what it reminds me of about myself is that people believe our shit. You know what I mean?
If we
punch you in the face, everybody's going to go, holy shit, that dude just got punched in the face. You know, that's our shit right there, you know?
Yeah.
If everybody was like that, man, shit, you'd have to damn.
Well, it's just like I said, I'd rather be believable and different by doing the little things than just being another guy that can do all the fancy shit.
Right. I don't want to cut you off. We're looking at 60 seconds before they're cutting us off for the hour. If I knew Damian was going to call in, I'd have made it a 2-hour broadcast. Maybe I'll make the next broadcast 2 hours in case we feed over. We'll be straight.
Give me heads up on the next time, buddy, and I'll be more happy to hop in, man.
We'll definitely do it. I'd like to bring you guys in on a wrestling roundtable, and we could talk about some old road stories, some guys that actually know what the deal is out here on the road.
Hey, man, I appreciate it. You talk too much.
I should shut up and let you guys talk more often. I want to thank you guys for being on the first. Damian, I appreciate you calling in. Timber, you're the
thanks,
man.
Guys.
We got 10 seconds, and we're fading out here in the black. I want to thank you guys for coming on Big Country. We'll be here next week. Next week's guest is going to be who the heck do we got next week? Oh, yeah, we got Chris Hamrick coming in next week. He's going to kick my ass for forgetting his name. But Chris Hamrick is going to be on this week. I'll tell him, and then next week after that, we have John Schuyler coming in. So
We've got nothing but the greatest wrestlers here. We're not booking the jabronis, so the other shows can do the jabronis. So we're off the air.
All right, yep. Pimps.
And we'll talk to you later. And here's the outro music.
All right, guys. Y'all take care. Love y'all, man.
Well,
all right, Danny.
Get your ass down here.
Yeah, definitely will, brother.
All right, man. Later.
Don't forget about it. Don't let me scream it out.